The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Talk is Jericho.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho, episode 378, the Pod of Thunder and Rock and Roll, taking it to the airwaves yet another time. And today, after popular demand, feel the glow, because Naomi is finally on Talk is Jericho. The WWE's Women's Champion is talking about how she went from an Orlando Magic cheerleader to a member of the WWE main roster to Women's Champion. You hear what hooked her on wrestling, how she got to developmental, what it was like working with Cameron as one of the Funkadactyls, Funkadactyls, the evolution of the glow gimmick, her take on the whole Divas Revolution at WWE. Naomi's also sharing some crazy road stories, as always, and how she and her traveling partner dealt with a recent flat tire and breakdown on the way to a gig. Lots of crazy stuff you'd never expect if you only knew what happens to us when we're on our way to the shows to entertain you guys. Your minds will be blown. And Naomi is ready to blow your mind with the glow right here on Talk is Jericho. But first, thanks to all of you who are actually listening to this episode on the new Podcast One app. It's a really cool app. Literally no other podcast app like it anywhere. You can do so much more than just listen to episodes. You can comment, share pictures, articles, connect with other fans. And one of my favorite things, watch some of your favorite podcasts in 360 virtual reality video. There's over 1,000 360 videos on the app. And if you haven't checked them out, you should. It's like you're sitting in the studio, like you're part of the show. Really, no other podcast app out there like the new Podcast One app. So download it now at the App Store or Google Play. Check out those 360 videos. Very cool stuff. And remember, my fourth book, No is a Four-Letter Word, is available for pre-order at my Amazon store, Amazon.com/IamJericho. The book is out August 29th, but you can pre-order it now, so it's going to be sent to you as soon as it's released. It's a self-help book, a motivational book to help all of you Sexy Beast Talk is Jericho fans achieve your dreams just like I did, using 20 golden principles. And as a matter of fact, I'll say this Friday, I'm going to read you a little excerpt from the book, maybe even a whole chapter. We're going to get into it. August 29th is coming up soon. I want you guys to pre-order this book. If you like my three previous books, you're going to love this one as well. More ridiculous wrestling stories, more ridiculous rock and roll stories, more ridiculous Chris Jericho stories, but all of them wrapped around a theme and a lesson. And the lesson learned is you can do anything you want to do if you put your mind and heart to it. And I'm going to tell you the 20 principles that I learned that can help you do that to achieve your dreams. No is a four-letter word. August 29th, it comes up, but pre-order it now on my Amazon store, Amazon.com/IamJericho. Before we get into Diamond Dallas Page, and before we get into Naomi, just want to give a quick well wish to Ric Flair, who's had some very serious health issues over the last few days. Apparently, a lot of his organs were shutting down, and he had a real rough time and almost passed away from what I hear. But he had some surgery. He's still in a very serious condition, maybe even critical condition. But he's doing better now than he was before surgery. So let's keep him in our prayers. When people talk about the greatest of all time, Ric Flair's name is always in there as one of the greatest, if not the greatest. A good friend of mine, I worked with him many, many times, and also, of course, a Talk is Jericho alumni. So God bless Ric Flair. We're pulling for you, champ, and woo! All right, like I said, Naomi's on the way. We're thinking about Ric Flair, and we're also thinking about Diamond Dallas Page helping us get into the best shape of our lives to keep our longevity going. And if you live in the England area, Europe area, DDP is going on the DDP UK tour. He's taking his motivational stories, over-the-top positivity, and hilarious Q&As across the pond straight to you, UK. The DDP UK tour starts September 8th. You'll be able to meet Dallas in person, take a selfie, have him sign an autograph, more importantly, give you a personal rundown on how to get the absolute most out of the DDPY yoga program. Please join him on the Inspiration Meets Perspiration Tour and experience DDP's infectious energy for yourself. Go to DDPUKTour.com to reserve your spot and get all the details. That's DDPUKTour.com. He's also doing DDP yoga workshops in Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, and London. And if Dallas isn't going to be in a city near you anytime soon, well, what are you waiting for, man? Get the DDP Yoga Now app and get on the track to healthier living. You know what DDP has done for me in my career, saved my wrestling career, enabled me to have the best year of my career in 2016, singing like a banshee, which is all done from the core, thanks to my my core that's been strengthened by DDP Yoga. So go check it out. And I've got the DDP Yoga Now app on my phone. I just open the app and do the workout wherever I am, whenever I want, okay? Over 150 workouts on the app, as well as the opportunity to do live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center in Smyrna, Georgia. And DDP Yoga can help you get in shape and live a healthier life as well. Dallas has thought of everything because he truly cares about everyone. He wants everyone to live a healthier life and meet all of their fitness goals. And I can vouch for the fact that that is the truth, and he can do this for you. His DDP Yoga program, great for anyone and everyone at any age, any skill level. And with the app, you can track your progress, get nutrition tips, recipes, all the motivation you need to stick with the program and stay on your game plan. So Diamond Dallas Page, he's made it so easy for you to get on board his life-changing program. Just take advantage of this tremendous deal that Dallas is offering. He's giving you 20% off the DDP Yoga Now app and all DDPY merch, swag, and clothing. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho. It's time to own your life. Start today getting the best mental and physical shape in your life, just like Chris Jericho did. DDP Yoga can help you. DDPYoga.com/Jericho. Go do it now.
Hey, everyone. It's former WWE host Lillian Garcia. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever wonder how your favorite stars make it to the big time? Then come check out my new show, Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia on podcastone.com. Hear me chat with some of your favorite athletes and entertainers about their rise to the top. It's about to get real, raw, and inspiring. So join me for new episodes every Monday on podcastone.com, the new Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Talk is Hawk is Hawk is Jericho.
Okay, so I always get lots of requests for different people, and everyone wants to talk about Naomi, and oh my gosh, can you talk to Naomi, and all your, like, all your glowing stuff, and all the stuff that's like shiny and all that stuff. But first of all, let's talk about this arena here. We're in Richmond, Virginia. Uh-huh. How hard is it to get in here?
It's insane. It's like a maze trying to get in here.
And most and the reason why you say this is most venues have like a parking lot at the back.
Right.
You drive in to the back of the venue, you go inside. This one, for some reason, right, the parking is like three streets over.
It's the strangest thing. This is probably one of the hardest buildings to park in, and I'm glad. I was going to take an Uber this morning because I ride with the Usos, obviously.
Yeah.
But they usually, you know, go to the gym in the mornings and do their thing. But today, uh-huh, I was coming to see you. So then I called an Uber. The Uber ended up being late. Uh-huh. And the struggle was real. I was on the phone with him, and then finally I was like, can you please take me? So John, being pissed because he wasn't ready to get up and go work out and get his day started, mm-hmm, he finally came and took me. And then I was like, I'm so glad you brought me, because had I been with the Uber, I probably still would have been driving around,
well, yeah,
trying to find it. But luckily, he has like the best memory ever. He remembers how to get to every loading dock.
Okay.
And I still, to this day, I never know how to get there. Even after so many times you've been here, I'm just one of those people.
I've been coming here since 1999, and I still have problems. Even today, driving around in circles for about 10 minutes, like I just told you, to where I'm just like, I'm just going to start driving through red lights. I don't care. I want a cop to pull me over so they can tell me where I'm supposed to go.
I got a story about that getting pulled over last night, too.
Oh, last night.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Well, what happened? We're here. What happened?
Oh, my gosh. The worst night ever. So...
You had a house show last night, a live event.
Right. We were in Norfolk. So we had a pretty long drive to get here, probably like close to 4 hours.
So we have to go over the big bridge over the Chesapeake Bay and all that stuff.
Yes.
This is like a 40-mile long bridge where there's waves on either side.
Yeah.
Like if there's like a big wave, you're screwed.
And right. I'm scared. Like for some reason, I'm terrified of bridges. I don't know. In my mind, I always just picture myself going over. So I always get like this eerie, like sick feeling going over bridges. It's crazy. But so my riding partner, who was also like my sister, we were riding to the next town and just talking and having fun and listening to music. We love like 80s, 70s, 60s. We like listen to old school.
So like 80s what? Like 80s what kind of style?
Like
new wave style?
Like the old school, like Marvin Gaye.
Okay. And like, that sort of stuff.
The old school
I'm a huge
stuff.
Fan of early 90s rap.
Love early 90s
MC
rap
Hammer,
was lit.
Vanilla Ice, PM Dawn, Gerardo, for whatever reason. I like that stuff.
Yeah.
Color Me Bad.
Ooh, yeah. That came on last night.
I'm so glad you're my girl. Yeah. I'll do anything for you. Yeah.
What you know about that?
Oh, man, it was my jam in the early 90s. A guy can't live by heavy metal alone. I used to live with a guy who was super into it. So I'd play one of my songs. He'd play one of his. I was like, this stuff is actually not too bad. So it still resonates with me.
Nice.
So there you
that's
go.
That's the most like amazing thing about music. It doesn't matter. Like a good song is a good song. It doesn't matter, you know, what you like to listen to or what, you know.
Like, you can take like a Slayer song or a Marvin Gaye song. And all that matters is a good melody and a good groove to it,
right.
And anybody can sing it. You can find likes in any type of music pretty much, as long as human beings are playing it for me.
Yeah.
If it's EDM sort of stuff, I don't really feel that. But you're talking about like,
what?
I don't feel like I don't a computer that just plays like a loop over and over again.
EDM gets in my spirit, too.
Yeah, I need a guitar player or like a singer, like a Marvin Gaye, like you said, something along those lines. I can feel that more, you know?
True.
So you said you're listening to the 70s and 60s and 80s.
So we were vibing, and sometimes, you know, like when a song is on, like if you're listening to, like a song can change your vibe. Mm-hmm. So we were listening to like a good song and we was jamming, and then we got pulled over by the police and we're like, oh shoot, oh shoot, oh shoot, oh shoot, you know, like you always get nervous. Well, I do.
Yeah,
when you get pulled over,
because yeah,
you're like, I don't want a fat ticket or you know whatever. So we ended up getting a ticket. Officer was extremely nice though.
For what? Speeding? Okay.
But here's the thing. We thought we were doing the speed limit, but we didn't know. Like, the speed limit changes a lot, and the police officer was right where the change was. So we thought we were doing a speed limit.
The speed
but
trap.
But it went down. Yeah.
Speed trap, yeah.
So he hooked us up, though, and so we were, like, kind of bummed. That killed our whole, like, mood after that. We're like, dang.
But
like,
did he give you a ticket?
Yes, we got the ticket.
See, usually a pretty girl, the cop was like, just give you a little warning, and you go on. It didn't work?
We were like, we should call Natty because Natty is the best. She is the best worker and talker out of getting out of tickets. And it was so funny because Natty was just bragging how she talked her way out of a ticket like a few weeks ago. And was like, dang, Natty, we need to take notes from you. It was like, we're going to do that next time, but we
she'll
both
just
chicken
keep talking
out.
Them to death.
Yeah.
She'll heart them to death.
Natty is the best. So it was like, dang, we should have Natty'd them, but it didn't work.
So you got your ticket.
We got the ticket. So now we're just like, dang, that kind of buzzkill. That kind of killed our night and our ride. So then shortly after that, we drive down a couple more miles, and then the tire light came on. Like in the new cars, So, but you know, like sometimes if it's just low tire pressure, it'll come on. I'm like, oh, girl, don't worry about it. We good. We'll make it. A couple minutes later, boom, me and Tamina are on the side of the road. I'm like, she's like, oh my God, what do I do? I'm like, sis, like, don't stop here. Get off the exit, pull over to a truck stop. So she's like, which way do I go? I'm like, you know, the signs on the exit.
Yeah.
We're both like panicking. And I was like, she was like, no, the sign said this way. I'm like, no, sis, the sign said that way. Go this way. So now we're arguing about which way to go. And I'm like, I don't care. Just, we don't have no flashlight. Mm-hmm. We don't know where we are. Just get to a gas station. So thank God we went the way I said.
Yeah.
And we stopped.
Listen to you.
We stopped to a truck stop or a gas station. So now we're like, okay, what do we do? I'm like, oh, well, it's all good because I have insurance. So I go through all this trouble getting through the insurance, come to find out.
Yeah, it was through the rental company? Like insurance? Okay. Okay.
No. So I'm thinking I can use my insurance. Like, this has never, ever happened to either of us before.
Okay.
I've never even had to use my insurance before. So I called and they're like, oh no, that only applies to your car. I was like, what the? I'm never home. I never use my car. So why do I even have your insurance? But anyway, so Tamina's like, okay, let me call the rental place. So then she ends up calling and then just such a long time. And then they're like, okay, well, they had us on hold for like an hour. So I was like, man, bump this. We need to get out here and go to work. Like, we got to ask somebody. We asked at least like 8 or 9 people. It's all men in this gas station at this truck stop. We're like, excuse me, sir, do you know how to change a tire? We'll pay. Can you please help us? Because me and Tamina were like, have you ever changed it? I was like, no. We're like, should we do it? Like, should we try to do it ourselves? I was like, no, I'm not trying to get like stuck up under the car. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it blew me away, like how cold people were.
Wow,
to us.
Yeah.
It blew me away. Like,
there was nobody that was going to help you.
No. And wow. We was like, what the? Mm-hmm. Like, we're stranded out here. We already had like pulled a tire out the back, had the the jack set mm-hmm. up, and then had our bags out. Like, it was clear, like, we were just sitting out there like stranded, like, somebody please come help us. And all the guys were like, oh, one guy straight up told us, was like, nah, honey, I'm sorry, I just don't feel like it. I was like,
oh,
savage,
man. Yeah,
the shade. I was like, and remind you, it's probably like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
At least for my reason of not doing it at night was I watched too many horror movies and I'd be scared that you hit me over the head and throw me in the back of the truck and kidnap me and kill me. But still, I mean, that is pretty bad in the middle of a truck stop where these guys do this for a living, change tires.
Exactly. I was like, oh, good. This is a truck stop. This will for sure. You know, and we offered them money and everything. They was like, no, sorry, I can't help you. One guy was like just sitting there smoking a cigarette. He was like, no, sorry, I got somewhere to be. But like sat there the whole time smoking a cigarette. I was like, I should go dropkick his ass in the face right now.
So what did you end up doing?
So luckily, after like 20 minutes of literally going to truck drivers, like knocking on the door, like, can you help us? Mm-hmm. One guy was really nice and he came over to help us, but then he kind of found out, didn't know what he was doing. He didn't set the brake, which now I, after going through all this, now I know how to change a mm-hmm. tire because we eventually got it done. He didn't set the brake, so once he put the car up on the jack, he didn't have the jack in there snug enough,
right.
So the jack slipped and like it looked like the jack bent.
Uh-huh.
And so he was like, oh, and then the car like rocked back. And so we was like, oh, shit.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. We was like, oh my God. Like, maybe we should. We're still on hold trying to get a hold of the rental car company. Uh-huh.
You picked the worst guy in the truck stop.
I did. And he was the sweetest and nicest guy. So I was like, bro, like, it's good. We'll call somebody. Because now I'm like, I don't want nobody to get hurt trying mm-hmm. to change his tire. And we wasn't in like a little car. We was in like a truck, like a big car, a mm-hmm. Jeep. So he was like, yeah, this jack isn't going to work. The jack bent. But in my head, I'm like, this is steel. How did the jack bend?
What are you talking about? But see, that's what you're talking about. Like when you mention just all this stuff about getting pulled over and then having to change a tire and all the long drives. I mean, people don't understand just how much traveling is involved sometimes to make it from show to show.
Yeah.
You know, did you ever expect that when you first got
in
the business?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know anything about the business or what I was getting into.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you learn.
Yeah, I learned quick too.
You wanted to quit?
No, I learned quick.
Yeah, you have to because you have to become a road dog.
Yeah.
And it's not for everybody. There's a lot of people that don't like being on the road and having mm-hmm. to deal with all this different stuff.
I think that's probably the hardest part for me mm-hmm. is the travel. And the role part, it's not the performing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easy part. That's the fun part. It's the in between, you know.
Right. There's Alice Cooper said they don't pay me to do the show. They pay me for the other 24 hours, 23 hours it takes to get there.
It's so true.
And that's the truth, right?
It's so true.
Because when did you start with the WWE?
2009.
Now, did you come in as a fan? Because I know you were an athlete. So how did this all come about?
Well, I saw a show. I didn't know anything about wrestling, but at the time I was cheerleading for the Orlando Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I automatically had access to like all the shows and when people would come to the arena. So there's a wrestling show it was Monday Night Raw came, and one of my girlfriends had tickets. She didn't want to go. And so I went, and that was my first time, like, really being introduced to wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I had never watched it growing up. I had never seen it live, and I saw it live, and I was just captivated. I was blown away. I was like, man, I want to do this. I think I can do this.
Just from one show?
From one show, and it was a six-woman bikini match mm-hmm. at the time, and I remember, like, seeing, like, Gail Kim. At the time, I had no idea who these women sure. were. But it was like Melina was in there, Kelly Kelly, Alicia Fox. I can't remember who the other ones were, but I just remember looking at them and thinking like, oh my God, they're so beautiful and they could kick ass. And like, mm-hmm. I really felt like inspired by seeing them. So I was like, man, I want to look into this. I want to see if I can do this. And from there, I asked my girlfriend like about the tickets and who she got them from. Come to find out her boyfriend worked with Ricky Santana. So, I got his information, had no idea who he
right.
was either.
He was like the guy who used to book in Puerto Rico and yeah. kind of a low-level wrestler. I think he was actually an agent here for a while too, Ricky Santana.
Yeah. But I ended up getting his contact and literally met him at a car dealership one day. I was like, hey, yeah, I was interested in this wrestling stuff. And he was like, yeah. And then from there, he got me the information about, you know, FCW and all that stuff. And then I went. Did a tryout because I was living in Orlando, so it was only an hour and a half drive
right in that area.
So I was like, I just stayed on them, got into contact with Johnny Ace at the time, and then went and did a tryout. And then it was months later, like I didn't hear anything, and I was like, man, what the you know, I thought I would be called right back. It was probably like 3 months later, and I was like, bummed. I was like, dang, I guess I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. Like, shoot. And remind you, my tryout was awful because I didn't have any experience.
What did you have to do for your tryout?
Well, Norman, bless his heart.
Everyone loves Norman Smiley. Everyone loves him.
He literally put me through like a crash course in like
of
10
everything.
Minutes. And I was like, oh, Jesus. What? Like hitting the ropes, taking back bumps. That's really all I could do at the time. And they was like, well, just show us what you can do. Is there anything else you can do?
Because you're super athletic. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I just did, like, some leaps and flips and splits and turns and, like, some dance stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, blowed up by the end of it. I was like, that's all I got.
But all that stuff is kind of derivative of being a cheerleader, right?
Right.
Because it's interesting, too. Like, I don't know if people understand, like, when you're an Orlando Magic cheerleader or a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, you're basically, like, it's just basically high class volunteering, right?
It really is.
Like, you're not really getting.
No, all of us either had another full time job or, you know, were full time students. Mm-hmm. At the time, I had a night shift job where I worked with I worked at a teen pregnancy facility. So at night, I would watch the kids and take care of them, help them get up for school in the morning, and then during the day, I would go to college, mm-hmm. Community college during the day, and then in the afternoon was magic rehearsal, dance practice, you know, volunteering stuff in the community, and then the days I had the game. So it's like a hustle. You're really doing it just for the experience and for the joy of it.
Put it on your resume too,
exactly.
Which doesn't hurt, right?
Because the pay, we literally at the time we were getting $50 a game.
$50 a game.
$50 a game.
Plus your outfits, your track suits or anything like that.
Yep. Okay. And the rehearsals and all that, we had rehearsals like every week.
Wow.
You know, for a couple of hours. So all of that was just included in it. It's like a full-time job, but for part-time pay.
Yeah. Are you the most famous Orlando Magic cheerleader now?
I think so.
Maybe,
but
right?
Now I am. Yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You're listening to Talk is Jericho.
So when you first started training for wrestling, what were the hardest things that you noticed right off the bat for you?
The hardest part for me wasn't the physical part. I think it was like the psychology and like the nerves. I was really like it's crazy because I'm an entertainer, but there's a part of me that's very shy. Mm-hmm. And you know how, like, when you first start wrestling, like, if you don't know anything about it, it's being serious and locking up with somebody in the ring. It's like very, for me, it was very like everybody was watching me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know, I wasn't comfortable. I didn't know what I was doing. So it was this nervous thing I had. I would always smile.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't because I was, didn't care and have fun, but I would always have this stupid smile on my face. You know, and at the time I came in, I was supposed to be a heel, but it was like a nerves mm-hmm. thing. And so it was just like things like that. I remember Dr. Tom ringing me out so bad because they were like, are you not taking this serious? Like, do you? And that was hard for me, like getting down the psychology and understanding wrestling and the etiquette and stuff like that.
Character of it too. You know, we did that Tough Enough show a couple of years ago, and there's that girl, Sarah Lee, who was always smiling. Everyone was yelling and yelling. And I was like, you guys, like, that's just her nervous reaction. Well, she's got to stop doing it. And you do. But I can understand where you just don't know what to do, so I'm going to smile. I'm like, stop smiling. Okay, we'll smile. But like, yeah, help. It's not because you're laughing. It's just because you don't know what else to do.
It was, right? That was hard. That was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who did you come into the class with, so to speak, other girls?
It was AJ, mm-hmm. AJ Lee, Serena Deeb, Oksana, Liviana, Jamie Keys, Tamina.
So that era of girls, which was kind of like 1 foot in the past of the bikini girls and 1 foot kind of where we're at now.
I came in, I'm happy at the time that I did come in because, like you said, it was like kind of the ending of one era and the beginning of another. So I feel like I kind of got the taste a little bit of what it was like back then, which I wouldn't change for anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of sad because all the girls that I came in with my class, all of them are pretty much gone,
right? Yeah.
Because, like, the Bellas and Natty and Alicia, they were already up here. Mm-hmm. They were already – so they kind of weren't in developmental with the other girls that I was with. Yeah,
they were kind of a step above.
Yeah, they were always, like, above. So.
Because I remember, like, thinking, like, it took you a while to get on the main roster or even start working. And I was like, man, she's, like, the most athletic one. But you never really get to do anything, right? I mean, they first brought you in as a Funkadactyl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I did the NXT, the women's edition. Oh, my gosh.
So tell us about that. Who was your mentor?
My mentor was Kelly Kelly.
Oh, okay.
She was the best. Yeah. Like, she took care of me. She was so sweet. But just the show itself and being so green, it was terrifying.
Let me explain the original NXT, because I was on the original NXT with my protege, was Wade Barrett.
Oh, they, you were?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and they had a seven rookies, quote-unquote rookies. Barrett was no rookie. But and they'd be paired up with a mentor, somebody that's on the main roster, and then you would have to do wacky challenges or whatever it was. So I was the first one, but the second one was the women's one, right? Was it the third one? Okay, third one. So you get brought in, and tell us about how that show worked for you guys.
It was terrifying because everything was, like, literally on the fly. They would kayfabe us on everything. So we would literally go out there and just be put on the spot and, like, having to cut live promos. And I was just so green at the time. I wish I knew then what I know now. Yeah. But it was fun. But I remember just, you know, getting broken and being new girls coming up on the roster and just how it was at that time. Like, when we first got out, we changed in a broom closet, like, all of us. And we were like, what the? You know, you gotta earn it. You got to work your way into the locker room. It's not just given to you. It's not given to you. And just the respect of the girls, you know, five or six of us, you know, new girls just coming in. The main roster girl was like, I don't know who y'all think y'all are. So just like all those struggles, but it was cool because we had each other.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Who else was in that with you?
Pretty much the same girls I just listed. Yep. Caitlin.
Caitlin. She's awesome, yeah.
Caitlin was awesome, but we had a lot of fun, a lot of tears, a lot of cries.
What was one of the promos that you had to cut on the fly, do you remember? Because they would just give you a topic, right?
They was like, cut a promo about your topic is toupee, go. And I was like, toupee? But then I was like, are they ribbing me? Because my hair, my weave, like, y'all would give me the topic of talking about a toupee. And then I was like, we all had, like, funny topics that I kind of feel like was an inside rib on all of us. But I just froze. in front of like a live crowd in front of all those people. And I remember like having a mic and like
shaking,
like toupee. And then the buzzer just went, and I was like, and we took it so serious because we're like, I want to win this show so I can get on the main roster. Yeah. Like I was so mad. I remember us like taking the challenges so serious. Mm-hmm. And afterwards I was like, toupee, instead of thinking of a toupee, I should have been like, I want everyone to pay attention
to me. Hell to pay.
I thought about like all this still to this day that bothers me. I was like, man, I could have killed. That was the easiest one. I could have killed that promo. Yeah.
Some people use a toupee to cover themselves up. I ain't covering nothing up. I ain't covering myself up because I'm real. All you need to do is use toupee once and then just take it wherever you want to go.
That was it.
Yeah. But once again, if you knew then what you know now, it'd be a whole different story.
Yeah.
So but did you last long on NXT or did you get kicked off pretty
quick? I lasted. It was me and Caitlyn in final two, and Caitlyn ended up winning. And AJ, me, it was like AJ. I think me, Caitlyn, and AJ in the top three, if I remember that correctly.
So was the idea that the winner goes to the main roster and everyone else goes back down to the minor leagues sort of thing?
Right. Goes back down to developmental and the winner gets like the contract to come on the main roster. And it's going to, you know, you get the push, whoever wins. Supposedly.
How long was it for you to come up to the main roster then after that?
I went back down for like I believe like almost another year maybe. But I remember just being so bummed because we thought it was just over after that. We didn't know what was going to happen.
You lost your chance.
I was like, damn it. That was my chance and I blew it and I sucked. And like me and AJ was pretty bummed. I remember sitting in the locker room like crying because didn't think we were performing well enough on NXT. And then it was also like the pressure of what the perception was of the women at that time. Like the women were, you know, sex appeal and beauty was more so the focus rather than the wrestling.
Right.
And was given, you know, 2-3 minute matches, 5 minute matches, but
one
it was
per
more,
show.
Yeah. But it was more about, you know, the appeal and the appearance at the time. And like, we came in like a bunch of knuckleheads, like really not up to par with our gear and fashion. And just looking at all the other beautiful women on the roster who was like in their zone in the groove and got it. We was like, man, like feeling really insecure and like, I don't know if we can, they're looking for. Yeah. So we were pretty bummed about that. But then, I went back down to developmental and, I was down there for maybe probably like another year and then kind of like, man, I don't know. Maybe I just need to go back to dancing or find another job because I don't know.
There was a point where you're like, this is no fun anymore.
Yeah.
Just sitting there doing nothing, right?
And I knew I had something unique. I just didn't know what it was and if, you know, the company understood or would see it. And then that's when the Brodus idea came up. And then
tell us about that. How was that pitched to you?
I was talking to Johnny and I was like, oh, just really down and like kind of borderline just in a rut about everything. Cause I was seeing more and more girls go up and get opportunities. And I was kind of like the last one lingering around. Like Oksana was in a angle and she was doing good. Mm-hmm. Caitlin, AJ got going and Maxine was going. Like everybody,
I forgot about her, yeah.
Yeah, like everybody kind of had their character and their stuff going, which I think it took me a while to grasp, not understanding wrestling.
That you have to make that connection with the crowd and the character.
I wasn't connecting. I was athletic and I was cool and whatever, but I wasn't connecting. Mm-hmm. And that was a big struggle for me. So when the opportunity came with Brodus, it was like, hey, you know, we got this idea for you. This is what we're going to do. We want you to dance. And we have Cameron that came in at the time, and she and I became really close. And it was like, what do you guys think about this? I was like, hell yeah. Like, I'm ready to go. I don't care what it is I'm doing. I just want to, you know, I want to get to the next level and evolve. And so, we started doing that. I remember me and Cameron riding around Tampa trying to get gear last minute.
Like matching gear.
Yeah. Had no idea. Like, trying to find the boots, the heels we dance in, like something that we wasn't going to break our ankles in. Like all last minute. Because
that's how it is. It's like, oh, by the way, you guys are on like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or tonight. Whatever.
We was like, what? We don't have gear. We didn't know seamstress. We didn't have any connects. We didn't know
choreography.
Yeah. Nothing. And Cameron's not a dancer. So it was like us trying to do all this stuff last minute, but we pulled it together and we were so like happy and excited.
So would you choreograph the routines?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Because with Brodus too, right? Yeah. He was involved as well. And he's not exactly what you would call dance material either.
Not at all.
He couldn't, I remember he had the biggest problem pulling his pants off at the same time that the bomb went off. Half the time the thing would stay buttoned and nothing would happen, and
it was crazy. Like, you would think something like that would be easy to mm-hmm. do, but someone who's not coordinated or right. dance like that, like, it's hard on top yeah. of remembering everything else you have to do out there. And you know,
I remember we did a commercial once for the Royal Rumble. It was based on West Side Story. Mm-hmm. So it was like, there's gonna be a rumble tonight, and you gotta snap your fingers. There's gonna be a rumble tonight. There's gonna rumble tonight. And Flair could not snap his fingers in time with the music, and they had to get a close-up of him snapping. So I had to stand off the air, off the camera, and go snap, 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 snap. Like, turn the audio down, and he was like yeah. watching me snap. I'm like a human metronome. But if you don't have the rhythm for that, it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like trying to train someone how to be a musician, so I can understand exactly. how that is for the three of you. Because the original idea was for you guys just to be his hype girls.
Right.
And not really be involved in the matches right. so much. Right. But that evolved.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that I was excited about. I remember kind of just want to wrestle so bad, and kind of being a little bummed. Like, after a while, I'm like, okay, I don't want to dance anymore. I left a dance career to come and like kick ass, and for 2 years I was just dancing,
right?
So, but now I appreciate it, you know. That was like a great
gave you
time.
A chance to be in front of the audience yeah. and kind of figure out the psychology of a match and exactly. all that sort of thing.
I so appreciate that time now, because I was able to sit back and watch a lot and hear the guys, you know, put together matches. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot from Tensai.
He was with us. Is that who he was working with? Bro? Oh, you guys mm-hmm. worked as a team.
Towards the end.
Right.
Xavier Woods was with us for a little while.
Really?
Remember, he debuted? Yeah. Yeah.
It was Brodus Woods and the Funkadactyls?
It was, I think it was all.
He had a whole crew?
It was weird. Like, one time it started with us with Brodus, and then Xavier was with us for a little while, and then Tensai,
mm-hmm.
aka Sweet Tea, was with us. But Xavier,
aka Matt Bloom, yeah.
I remember Sweet Tea. Xavier debuted, and they would wet his hair, and then he would we would be on the apron with him, and they would put the spotlight on him, and he would throw his hair back, and you would see all the water wow. from his afro. Yeah, it was.
See, I have no memory of that.
For a while, yeah.
Another great example of a guy that he couldn't harness that charisma until the New Day gimmick. But like, there was a yeah. bunch of different things. I remember he was Truth's guy, and
yeah.
he was with you.
He was just bounced around for a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember that.
Wow. So how did it finally suddenly evolve into you actually starting to wrestle then?
Oh, when we all split and it was time for Planet Funk to end.
Sweet Tea. I forgot about that. Let me just say before you start.
He hated it.
It was great because he started out years ago as he was Albert, and he was like A-Train. Mm-hmm. Then yep. they put him with Scotty Too Hotty, and he becomes a guy doing like a dance move. As this big killer. Then he comes back as Tensai, the Japanese killer. Then they put him in another dance team, Sweet Tea, doing dance moves.
I bet he was like, what the hell?
He couldn't get away from them damn dance moves. He's like, geez, I am 6'8", you know.
He went with it, though. He was great.
Yeah, like, well, that's the thing. You have to mm-hmm. have longevity in this company. You have to be able to fill any part or any yeah. role, you know, as we're talking about. So when Planet Funk breaks up.
Yeah, and then it was Cameron and I had just always like worked with each other mm-hmm. and practiced for just always prepared ourselves. Okay, when that day comes, you know, we got to be ready to wrestle. And so luckily we stayed as a tag team, and then we were in the one Divas at the time, Divas division. And then we got to work like against the Bellas and mm-hmm. do stuff like mm-hmm. that. And that was really fun. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, we started having matches, and we did okay. So
that's when you started kind of working more on your athletic side of things.
Right, 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 right. right.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is Talk is Jericho.
So what did you think when the whole Divas Revolution started? Because that was pretty much around the time that you were working a bit, but then they bring in all these other girls, right. And you're kind of mixed in with that category right. of women. Were you excited about that? Did you think it was going to be like as big as it ended up being?
I definitely knew it was something big. I had no idea how big it would be, but I was very excited because I think for me, my heart has always been in the wrestling. Mm-hmm. I've never been like a strong talker. Mm-hmm. So I always just gravitated toward the wrestling. And that's something I've struggled with. I think public speaking is one of the biggest fears. Mm. I think it's like number two. The first fear of people is death.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's
death
crazy.
Death or public speaking.
Yes.
Wow, yeah.
Public speaking is like number two. And I struggle with that. I used to have like really, I've always been like a great dancer, entertainer, performer. Never really had to speak a whole lot.
Part of a team, right?
Yeah. And like, so I definitely struggle with that. And I think that was kind of a hard part with me connecting, you know, at the beginning stages of my career. It's like just getting comfortable with speaking and knowing who my character was and learning how to translate, which I'm still, you know, improving and working on every day. Because I get so nervous sometimes. Like I get like sick to my stomach. Mm-hmm. And it's just like one of those weird things. I guess I have that fear of public speaking, but I love it now because where I am, I've been able to work on it and I see myself getting better at it. But
important to connect with the audience. You have to find what the connection is going to be, you know? And I mean, obviously that's one thing now with the glow thing. I mean, that's something that people can latch onto.
Right.
You know, was that your idea?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about how that all started. Because you've been working on this for, it might be 2 years, it seems to me a year. It's been a long time.
2 years.
Wow.
So back to you. I didn't finish your last question.
I go all over the place. We were talking about how you got
the revolution.
Sorry. Yeah.
So I remember like wrestling, we would get like short matches, you know, all of us girls back then always kind of pushing and trying to and wanting and asking for more. Just never really. It wasn't the
eight
time.
Girl tags. Yeah. So you get 5 minutes or whatever. Yeah.
And I remember being told like, that's too athletic. Like, they don't want the girls wrestling like the guys. That's too.
I had heard that before.
I was specifically told that. Like, you're
meaning
too
what?
Athletic. You need to bring it down.
Really?
They don't want the girls punching each other in the face. They pull hair, do girl stuff, cat fight, luthes, like stuff like that. So when I saw like what was going on in NXT and like the revolution and those girls came up who was just. Could go, you know what I mean? And who were so talented. I was like, hell yeah. Like, this is what we want. This is what we want to show. We're more than just beauty and brains. We can kick ass too, you know? So that was really exciting. I was excited for the opportunity to be on their level, honestly.
Like a legit quote unquote athlete. Yeah.
Exactly. And to be taken serious.
It is so funny that you don't want you wrestling like the guys. You know, it's kind of such a weird thing.
And that was only like 5 years ago.
Age. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't that long ago.
What kind of moves were you doing that were too athletic?
Like,
because I know you got
like the springboard stuff and high flying stuff and like. I was trying all kind of shit.
Do you know one time I saw you working with John in the ring? You guys were just messing around doing like a scratch match before the show. Uh-huh. Do you remember that? I saw it. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, you're awesome, dude.
Thank you.
That's what I was like, man.
I remember that. I remember being like all feeling myself after. I was like, Jericho said I did a good job.
Yeah, but you did because, you know, you didn't get a chance to really show off a lot of that stuff like you do now.
Yeah, I was always like practicing though. Because I always just wanted to be a good in-ring competitor. Mm-hmm. I knew that's where my strength was.
Were you a gymnast when you were younger?
No.
Just came from natural ability?
I wish I was. Yeah.
Because you got some major springs in your legs.
Same.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I always wish I was a gymnast, but no.
Yeah. Pretty close to it. So we were talking about coming up with the idea for the glow gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
Do you call it the glow gimmick? I don't
know. Yes.
Okay.
So just over time, I got more and more involved in the division. And at the time, AJ and Paige were doing their thing at the time. And then this was during the time when AJ left or was leaving. And that kind of, they needed somebody to go against Paige at the time. Right. Yeah, it was an opportunity. I remember getting the call and it was like, yeah, we want to turn you heel and do this and this and this with Paige. And I was like, bummer, because I had just like a few weeks before pitched the Glow stuff. I went into a production meeting and to show Vince like the Glow stuff, I had the light up shoes. I had some horrible, like tacky neon green gear. It looked awful. I had this Glow like dread wig piece on. I had the light up shades, but it looked, now that I think about it, I was like, it looks so bad. They were probably like, what the, what are you putting this
JoJo's shit on our show?
Yeah, yeah. The lights were on, so the stuff really wasn't glowing right, and it looked a mess. But I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to come out. And I just pitched it all wrong because I was overly excited, you know. And like, okay, we'll think about it. And then I had like worked on this new entrance music that was awful. And I went in and played the music and I started dancing. I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And they're like, okay.
This is in front of all the production.
It was like five.
Like Vince, Kevin, Trip, yeah.
Yeah. Trip wasn't there. It was Kapoor, like the head writers. Mm-hmm. And it was just awful.
Where did you get the idea from?
It was inspired by a movie from the 80s called The Last Dragon. Like the idea.
I was wondering if it might be Tron. But did you ever see Tron?
Tron. No, I haven't seen. I know what Tron is, but I haven't actually seen the
very neon lit, you know, video game type, you know, warriors.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of stuff. So what was The Last Dragon? I need
to see that movie. It's a movie from the 80s about this guy who's into martial arts and he's trying to get to the final level, the final stage of martial arts and
like a tournament or something like that.
Yeah, he's just at the final level of training, but he can't, he's missing something. Mm-hmm. And his trainer, what he was missing was his confidence, which in the end he ends up getting it and he has the Glow. Like he literally glows at the end of the movie and start kicking ass.
So it becomes like a little supernatural sort of thing. I never saw that. I know it, but I never saw it.
It's a great movie. I love that movie growing up. And that's kind of where I got the inspiration from, because I think at the time I didn't have confidence in myself. I didn't know, characterize who I was and who I wanted to be. And I needed to believe in myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what I connected to. And I was like, that's what I need. I was like, I need the Glow. And I was like, Glow? Like, you know, and then all the creative stuff came, but it sparked from that.
So when you go in there with the kind of the jobber version of the outfit, what did you do to start making improvements on it?
I started thinking and I was like, okay, this needs to be like a production, you know, like when I come out, it has to be something different and something captivating that no other girls have or that's doing, because I don't speak much, you know, at the time. It's like, I don't have much. How am I going to get people to connect with this if I don't have matches and if I'm not speaking? Mm-hmm. Well, I have to come up with something that's visually stimulating for them to get right away. Something not complicated that they would get. I was like, okay, how can I literally make myself glow? Mm-hmm. And that's just where it started from. I had this idea, like, I just want to glow in the dark all the way to the ring. Mm-hmm. Like, literally come out glowing. So I found this fabric, which I spent a fortune on outfits and trying out stuff. I found this fabric that literally you charge it with either natural light source or like just some bright lights. Mm. You charge it
like solar powered almost.
Right. Like, you know, like the glow in the dark stickers that you put on your walls growing up.
Mm-hmm.
The lights or charge it when you turn the light. Mm-hmm. So I literally had gear made. I found this fabric and had gear made out of it. And it looked awesome.
That's great.
And the first few runs, finally, after like probably a year, they were like, okay, we'll try this stupid thing.
But you kept going back to them and saying, I got this idea.
Yeah, like, so I did like a whole heel run for a while. And then when I initially pitched it, I turned heel like the next week and had to go against Paige. And that was like terrifying because I had never been a heel before. Mm-hmm. My whole 2 years I was dancing, you know, with Brodus and a Funkadactyl. So then out of nowhere, they was like, okay, you're going to be a heel. I know that at heart, I'm not a heel. Mm. There's not like that natural.
Yeah, you don't have that. You're too nice.
Savagery to me. Or it's just like that. I don't know. You can look at some people and be like, they're a heel.
Like as an asshole. Yeah.
I don't have that. So I learned it worked. I got through it because mm-hmm. I'm not going to turn down an opportunity or a challenge. Mm-hmm. So I worked really hard on it, but I just always knew like it just never.
You felt you're playing a part exactly. rather than being the part.
I never felt yeah. like as a Funkadactyl, like I was playing a part.
Yeah.
I was having fun and being me. So I did the heel stuff for a year. And then finally when that was fading out and we did Team Bad and we did, I got Tamina and that rolled out for probably like a year. And then I was kind of stuck once again. Sasha, we got Sasha. That was freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of went off and did her thing. And then me and Tamina was kind of left there. And then we eventually broke up. And I was like, okay, let me try it again. Yeah. Now is the time. And so that's when I tried that one outfit. And it was just, it was so much work trying to get it. I literally had to sit in the back, let it charge for a couple minutes in front of like a light. I have pictures of me like standing in front of this light thing, like just charging. And then the props having to get the lights in the back. And then once I came out, it would be bright for like maybe a few seconds. And then the light would start to fade. Yeah. And then it just wasn't translating on camera. Mm-hmm. So that didn't work.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. Like, it's cool. It's really cool. But it's just, you got to think like on live events and house shows, like it's just too much work, you know. Mm-hmm. And being on the fly, like during a live show, if I gotta go out right now, I don't have time to sit and charge a damn
and if
outfit.
You're and if you're in a stadium show, WrestleMania, and it's only gonna glow for 5, 6, 7 seconds, who's gonna see it in row 712? Right?
Exactly.
All that stuff too.
It was so cool though, because I literally, it looked awesome, but it just, it wasn't working
for a short period of time.
So I was like, and it was just so much work, the process of it. So I was like, dang, like, what am I gonna do now? Like, this has to work. This is what I wanna do. This is me. So then the next idea was, okay, I'm gonna get just neon. Like, can I use the black lights? Which I kinda didn't wanna do because that was, I always thought of Jeff with the black lights.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Hardy, yeah.
And it had been done before, and I was worried about, you know, people thinking that about right. it. But
which I can see, but still, mm-hmm. it's a kind of a whole new vibe. It's a whole new deal, right?
Yeah. So, and then I thought about, you know, how could I make it different? I didn't want to do the paint or anything like that because I was trying to keep it as different from what had been done as mm-hmm. possible. But the neon, the UV lights ended up working.
So that's the secret, using they installed UV lights in the rig. Well, shining on your gear makes it glow.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there's apparently already UV.
Oh, okay.
That's already there. So mm. that was a help too, because they didn't have to add anything extra. So mm. I got the UV light and the first gear, another gear I had made, it freaking lit up like a Christmas tree.
Using lights?
Using the UV
light. Oh, using the UV light.
Yeah. So just like, but it's tricky because some fabrics look neon and you think it'll glow. And I've found out not everything that I think glows. So in the beginning I was trying like different outfits every week and ordering stuff online and like trying to get gear made, and some stuff worked and some stuff didn't.
It's funny how it is, because I know from my light up jackets, you know, they're great, but they're also very temperamental, and sometimes right. those things will break, and sometimes a wire will snap and the whole right side will go out. Yeah. And you know, it became a real hassle because it was like, I felt in a lot of ways I was almost a slave to this gimmick.
Yes.
You know, if this gimmick doesn't work,
yep.
then what do I do?
Exactly.
You know, and I remember I even told that to Paul Stanley from Kiss. He's like, listen, man, with all the gimmicks we've had, sometimes it doesn't work. You're never a slave to the gimmick. If it doesn't work, you're bigger than that. You're better than that. Still be you. That's and true. Go out there and kill it, right?
Right.
But it sucks, though, because you put all your time into this. You're like, just work. Just what's not working. How can this not be working?
It's a whole nother level right. of stress.
And also having to cart the stuff around and make sure it's always, well, yep. you don't have to charge it anymore, but make sure, you know, is the UV lights at every live event?
Well, I have to charge, yes.
Okay.
So, yep, we ended up getting like the black lights for me put on stage at live events.
So they're having to prepare now. Now they're putting money into it.
Yeah, but not at first, because right. when I first started doing it, I would glow on TV but not on mm-hmm. live events. And I was like, oh, bummer. But then I was smart, because I would get like the fur, you know, jackets that lit up and, you know, like rave and party stuff.
Yeah,
I would just
yeah.
try to find something to make me glow sure. or.
And that's another thing I thought maybe you got some inspiration from would be like at a rave.
Yeah.
You see a lot like of those type that, of glowing people and the, yeah. you know, the glowing sticks and the yep. lollipops and all that sort of thing. You
definitely.
Know?
Like the Cyberlocks, all that stuff is definitely from the EDM world and the rave world, which I'm
But that makes
into
you
that
just
stuff.
Stand right out, which
yeah.
is great. You know, now you're the glow girl.
Yep.
You know, it's funny. I talk about the title, the new title that has all the glowing on it. Did you see McFoley's tweet the other day?
Yeah. That was great. That made me feel so good.
He goes, what do you say? Happy. Chris Jericho lives in a world of regret that he never came up with the glowing belt first. Shut up, Mick. No, I'm not. The one thing that I did think about, but I never actually, Julie, one of our seamstresses, is like, have you ever thought about having glowing boots?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, maybe, but you know, maybe it's too much, or maybe it's not going to work, or I'm having so much problems with the stupid jacket. And you actually had the glowing boots.
Sneakers. Yeah, I had glowing sneakers. That's not it. Boots,
sneakers. Yeah. Did you buy them that way, or did you get them made? Have glowing sneakers.
Mm-hmm. I remember, like a couple years ago, I wore them. At the time, I was still a heel. And I wore them. I remember kind of getting buried about them on social media. They were like, what is she, 12 years old? Like, and I remember kind of being like shook about it a little bit. It kind of got in my head. And I was like, dang, people think these are stupid. But it was before it hit big here.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were wearing them like overseas. Oh, they were really popular. And I found them. I was like, those are cool. I want some. But now they're in the malls. They're everywhere. They're so popular now. But at the time when I wore
them,
people was like, what is she? You know, I remember reading like a lot of comments, like people just burying me about wearing
lighter sneakers. Is there batteries in
there? It's charged by a USB.
USB cord. Oh, okay.
So I have to charge those. I have to make sure they're charged like a million times. I always check.
Yeah, because
sometimes I charge them overnight, and then I'll go out there, and they just won't cut on, or the bulbs will blow, because they're not made for wrestling.
Well, that's another thing too. Like even my jackets, like they're props. They're made to stand there, maybe take a picture. They're not made to even wear them live with Fozzy too for one song, and you're moving your arm up and down. Even though you're trying to be controlled, it's still not made for that. And my guy,
and those wires are so sensitive.
Always tells me this is not made to be used as an athletic competition, or even even moving your arm is athletic. You're supposed to basically stand there, and it's like that's not what we do, right? So, but tell us about the title. Tell us about the title, though.
That just getting that approved, and
because that's a big deal. That's not just your stuff.
It's like
a spinning title or a skull title. You're actually changing the entire concept of the belt.
I didn't realize how impactful me doing that would be, and
huge.
How much of a buzz it would strike. I was just thinking, you know, I just want to, this is my moment. I want to just do something unique and put a piece of myself into it, something that'll always be remembered.
Right.
I never thought of like how much I was changing it. And also, you know, I have a pretty long entrance for close or maybe like a minute and 20 seconds. I'm out there in the dark and you can't see the title.
Right.
I'm the champion. Right. You can't see my championship for like a whole minute and a half almost. And I hated that. I was like, everything is going and look cool, but you just see this big blank space and that's the championship. That should be highlighted more than anything, because I'm not going to have this always. So that was really, you know, why I wanted to get something on the championship so you could see it in the dark. And we tried glow paint on it because we still wanted it to look, we didn't want it to look different in the light. We just wanted it to glow. And that was the tricky part. So we tried like clear UV paints. They would show a little bit, but just not enough to translate on camera. And
did you have to get permission from Vince to do this, obviously?
Yes.
He said you can make the belt your own.
I asked if I could make it glow, and then he was like, yeah. Cool. And then I was kind of always set about it. And then we were all working on it, trying to get it to glow. But, you know, after the few paints we tried didn't work, it was kind of, they kind of gave up on it, I think. But I was like, I'm going to get this. I don't care what I do before I drop it or lose it. I don't care if it's lit for one day. I have to get this championship to glow. So I was able to do it, and I was like, well, what if I put, you know, the only thing else that's going to work is if we literally put lights on it. And that was the tricky part, was getting it to, getting the LEDs on it, but getting it to hide the, like, so you just don't see LED lights on it.
Lights wrapped around it or something, right? Yeah.
That was the tricky part, was getting it to still look like the women's championship when the lights aren't on, and hide the UVs. And the first one that I got made was the back plate wasn't lit on it. So when I came out, you just saw like this little W, you know, because I didn't want to take out, I didn't want to change the logo.
Yeah.
I wish I had it here to show you, but you know how the,
I've seen it,
the diamonds are on it.
Yeah.
You know, there was all these ideas and options, but we were like, no, we don't, we want that to stay.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, how do we get this W to light up and get all this stuff without taking out?
Sure. Still keep the integrity and the design
exactly,
of the belt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the first one, the back plate wasn't lit, so when it came out, you couldn't see the actual logo. You just saw like a W.
Right.
Like
right.
A,
yeah,
it looked
yeah,
like
yeah.
a little stick W. It just looked weird. Yeah. And I was like, oh no, this is not gonna work. So then I went back and asked if we could get the back plate lit, which it looks a whole lot better now mm-hmm. because you can actually see the WWE full logo mm-hmm. now. Which I was like, all right, this is it.
Which is so huge for you, too, because you – and you have to help me with the timeline of this, but I remember you won the title
mm-hmm.
for the first time and then got hurt maybe during that match.
I got hurt on the finish.
On the finish.
That split leg moonsault. Just a weird landing, and I hyperextended my knee.
So you were out for a bit, right?
Yeah. I was out for a couple months, and I had to drop it because I literally couldn't – move my knee. I knew it was messed up at the end of the match, but I didn't want to say anything. And I was like, maybe tomorrow I can
just go away.
Shake it off. I was like, uh-uh, this is my moment. I'm not saying nothing. And then the next morning I woke up and my knee was blew up. Like I couldn't even, I gotta tell him. But I was going to try and have as many matches on it.
Cause that's how we are.
Yeah. But that's not, they really had to convince me like, you know, put your pride aside. Mm-hmm. It's not smart. It's not healthy.
Big picture.
Exactly. Yeah. So they talked to me about it, and I knew I was going to have to relinquish it, and I was just bummed. I was like, that's it. That was my shot.
Mm-hmm.
That was my time, and I'm never going to get this opportunity again.
Except.
I kicked out. I went to rehab, and literally I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to make Mania.
Because Mania is in Orlando,
yeah.
which is your hometown.
And literally I found out the week before that, okay, they're going to let me come back because it was so quick. They were like, they was like, yeah, I know you can go, but it's
right.
still so fresh.
Yeah,
we don't know if we
exactly.
want to risk
right,
it.
Right.
And I just begged and I convinced them that I'm good and got cleared by the doctors. And I was like, but it was literally like up until the week
before the show.
Yeah.
Was that your first WrestleMania?
No, that wasn't my first WrestleMania, but it was the first like, that I it was centered around
mm-hmm.
me
mm-hmm.
in the women's match and yeah
it's like was, the old dream like winning the title in your hometown at WrestleMania
yep and
that's,
like you know how stuff happens you know they you're like are they just telling me that so I don't freak out
mm-hmm.
you know they're telling me yeah well you'll come back and don't worry we'll give you your opportunity and stuff and it's like y'all are just telling me this so I don't lose my mind
yeah.
and like you're just working me just so I'm okay because
yeah.
you can't tell me the truth
right
but it ended up working out and I worked really hard to come back and like make sure my knee was healthy yeah like I can't forget what they said I did like
patella,
tore it or something
tore your patella or tore
something
your PCL
yeah.
or some shit like that
something like it wasn't the major
mm-hmm.
muscle but it was one like
yeah
it's messed up but you could still keep mm-hmm. function on it. I don't
that's
know.
What you did. Was yeah. did you have your family there?
Yeah.
What and a great day.
It was so surreal. Like my grandma came and like she watches on TV and she doesn't. It's real. Everything is extremely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know when my hair is pulled. Why are you pulling my grandbaby hair like that? Like, what? Like she hates all the heels.
Right.
She's you know.
Mm-hmm.
So for her to see it live there and me have like a moment, I was happy and she was because she was happy.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of my family, they don't really know anything about
mm-hmm.
wrestling. They don't watch. So they've never really come to shows. So for them to really see how big it is, what I do and how hard I've worked at it, it just made me feel so happy because I'm like, now they finally
understand. Yeah, yeah.
They get it.
And plus to win in your hometown is a damn rare thing in this company.
It's,
trust me,
it's
that
insane.
Never happens.
I know.
Usually you'll kiss somebody's ass or, you know, get a bucket of shit dumped on you or something like that.
I know. And it's crazy because every time we have a show in Orlando, I'm never either booked
mm-hmm.
or yeah, it just
yeah,
you know
yeah.
it's weird. It's you're never on the card or for me.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm in my hometown, I don't have a match, I'm not on the card or I'm injured. Yeah, okay. You know?
Right. So that was the time that you got to show that off.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah. A couple last questions for you. Yeah. How long does it take to do your weave with all the crazy cool green in there?
Oh, natural,
it grows
baby.
Like that, baby? That's,
yeah.
Oh, wow. You got
from
some
the,
cool
from
ass.
From the root. It comes out green.
Because you've had them all. You've had purple, red, yellow, orange.
I've sort of stuff. I've done it all, other than have a shaved head, which I wouldn't mind.
That's a real Nubian princess type thing.
I would do it because I'm just at the point. I'm so... Chris, think about it. I've been performing since I was like 18.
Yeah.
You know, like a woman's hair is her crown. Like having to keep my hair done and constantly have extensions in it.
Is it heavy too? Is it heavy with
It's not that heavy, but I've just been wearing weaves since like I was 18 because I've been in entertainment and performing.
Right.
And you know, your hair needs to flow and need to move, and you're putting so much heat and processing stuff on it. It's just better and healthier to wear a weave.
How much hair do you need to have a weave? Like, how long is your real hair?
About shoulder length.
So it would be
but my natural hair is a
70s fro.
Yeah.
That might be kind of cool, too.
Oh, that would be lit. If I
Foxy Brown.
That might be my next gimmick.
That's it, yeah.
But, I'm just at the point where it's really time-consuming. It's really expensive. Like, when I do my braids myself, it'll probably take me, like, 10 hours.
Oh, my gosh. You do it yourself?
Sometimes. If I don't have time to go to a salon and get it done, I'll, like... On a Wednesday, on my days off, I'll do half one day and then half the other day. And then I'm walking around the house looking a mess. John's like, Usa's like,
baby.
Can you finish that?
Please.
I had an afro on the top and like these long green braids in the back. But yeah, I put a lot of time and effort into my
it's
hair.
Part of show business.
And it's a part of my gimmick.
It's part of your gimmick, especially now with the glow.
Yeah, and like having a diet. Finding like the neon dyes and like having to soak it. I literally have to dye and let it sit for a night for the color to really soak so that it'll glow.
Yeah.
When I come out, it's a lot.
You got to spend money to make money.
Yeah.
And beauty is pain.
It is.
Those are the two rules of show business, you know? What's your favorite match that you've ever had if you had to pick one?
Ooh, that's tough. I would say my FCW match against Serena Deebs.
Oh,
when
wow.
I won the FCW championship.
She was pretty good, right?
She was incredible. But that match was special to me because that was kind of when I feel like I was starting to get it. And I remember when we came to the back, like all the boys there,
the trainers were
clapping. And I've never felt like that special and like so proud in my whole career. So I think on the main roster, I haven't had that defining match yet that feel like, you know, when you walk through Gorilla and you know, you killed it and everyone's like, they're commending you. Like, it's nothing like your peers.
Right. Giving you that pat on the back.
Yeah.
Even on top of that, it's great to get that. But also when you have that match where you don't even care what anybody thinks, you just know.
You know,
that
you did
the one.
That. Yeah.
That was it. Yeah.
And, I just think I haven't had that moment yet here on the main roster, or even that feud or that storyline or that build up. So that's what I want now, and I'm really excited for SummerSlam.
That's gonna be you versus
Natty. Yeah,
that's great.
Who I feel like that could be the match.
I mean, there's some great workers here, but for what I like, she's still the best worker, female worker in the company. For what I like,
I agree. You know, she's probably the most technically sound woman,
but also
we have in timing, a
great heel. Understands the concept of a heel is not doing a moonsalt from the top rope to the floor, or not, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's being a heel and beating the shit out of the baby face.
Exactly.
And you're big too. That you guys are both big girls in a good way. So it's not like there has to be a big girl little. It's too you can just go toe to toe with her, right?
That's what I feel like. Natty is a great competitor.
Right, absolutely.
Like, she's for sure on my level, if not above. So it's definitely someone I can see who, no matter what, in this match will make me better and build me. And no matter what, I just feel like there's going to be some chemistry there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I'm excited about it.
I'm really excited, and I'm grateful, and I'm happy.
Let's talk about the Breakfast Club.
Oh.
How did we start the Breakfast Club?
Cause on tour, just being up late.
But just you and I are the last ones up.
Always.
So we just stay up until breakfast comes out. Where were we that one time? Like it was like that, like a palatial countryside. It looked like something out of Game of Thrones or something. Remember we were outside?
That was beautiful. Like yeah, that was so awesome. I have no idea where that was.
Spain, maybe? Spain or something, I think.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it just ended up you and me. Just, I think Tamina was there too.
Tamina.
Just listening to our last, like we had 10% phone left for music.
Music?
Whatever the hell we were listening to. Oh, yeah, it was Prince.
We're talking about Prince.
We listened to Prince. That's right.
Just some good music.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's one thing I like about being on tour. The people that do like to stay up, like I, you know, I'll get sleep when you need it, but most of the time our schedules are so crazy that I can't go to sleep until 6 or 7 or 8 in the morning.
It's like you get insomnia every time you're on tour.
Whether you're drinking or not. Yeah. It's just if you're drinking, then you're really crazy. But even if not, I'm still awake. So when you find somebody else, it's like, hey, there's Trinity.
The most random group
ever. How did you get the name? Okay, for Trinity's a great show business name.
Thank you.
How did you get Naomi?
Oh, you know what? I wanted to use Trinity.
Yeah.
I couldn't use Trinity because there had been a Trinity before.
Oh, which like 10 years ago?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, ECW low level chick for here about 6 months.
That was the reason. So I had a list of other names, but it was kind of like random names, and Naomi just happened to be like, it was like, okay, we need a name for you. And I was like, at the time, I had no idea what I wanted to be. I was like, well, maybe I like Naomi Campbell. Maybe I can be like a bootleg version of, you know, Naomi. I had no freaking idea. I was like, let me just put Naomi on here. Maybe I can do something with that. And then they end up picking Naomi, but I thought I was going to get Trinity.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, they won't even use that anyway. And it ended up being Naomi. And now I think back, I'm like, why would I put that on there? Why would I do that?
You could have picked any name.
And now I'm like, God, there were so many like sick names.
What other
like,
ones were on there? Do you remember?
I can't even remember. It was like foolishness, like just generic basic names like Jade.
Okay.
Like nothing like with a pop to it.
Right. No Beyonce or Solange or nothing cool like that. Rihanna.
Nothing unique at all.
Unique would have been great.
Yes. Ooh, that would have been
unique.
Lit.
It's Eddie Murphy. My twins, Unique and Monique. Thank you so much, Trin. That was awesome.
Thank you.
I have to meet you again at the Breakfast Club.
I know. You need to get on SmackDown side.
I am. I'm here.
Stay here.
All right. Thanks again to my fellow Breakfast Club member, Naomi. Had some great hangs on the road. Such a cool lady. Great conversation and laughs always. It was awesome to have her on the show. And it's going to be awesome to watch her at SummerSlam face Natalya for the SmackDown Women's Championship. That's going to be on Sunday, August 20th. And I'm going to pull for Naomi, okay? Of course, we've had Natalya on Talk is Jericho as well. So I'm a winner either way. The best guests here, championship guests on Talk is Jericho. Thanks to Naomi on the eve of defending her title against Natalya. She's here talking strategy with me. Lots of laughs with her. And speaking of laughs, let's get your laughs on with Team Tiger Awesome.
Socks, socks, socks. Is there anything worse than socks? You wear them, you wash them, repeat, forever. Hi, I'm Tony Turlett, the revolutionary founder of Nafi. I lost my legs in the desert, not doing anything heroic. I just made bad life choices. That's why I founded Nafi. Nafi will take your legs and leave those pesky socks behind forever. We'll give you a pair of those sweet leg blades, and they don't make socks for those, no sir. You can take my word for it. I'm Tony Turlett, revolutionary founder of Blade Socks. Socks to keep your leg blades warm, rain or shine. They'll stay warm, or my name ain't Tony Turlett, because it's Alpo Ribot, the founder of Changer. Change your name with my app at the drop of a hat. Well, when I saw that hat drop and I knew that I could do something to stop it, that's why I invented my new revolutionary product, Cap Stopper. Hi, I'm Francisco Saskatchewan, and dropping my hat is just about the second worst thing I can think of next to socks. If only somebody would do something about those damn socks. I'll take care of the hats.
Team Tiger Awesome Show brings the ridiculous fun every Sunday morning, so subscribe on Apple Podcasts,
Be sure to leave him a 5-star rating and review. Leave all the Jericho Network podcasts 5-star ratings and reviews at Apple Podcasts. Killing the Town with Storm and Cyrus. This week, Lance's Hollywood domination continues, and Don gives us an up-close and personal view of the G1 Climax Tournament, possibly the greatest one of all time. Kenny Omega, Okada, Naishi, so many great, great performers. Naito, is there a Naishi? If there was, there should be. Great stuff from Killing the Town. Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. Iron Maiden last week. So much other stuff. Mitch has always got great guests on there. Go check out Rock Talk and find out what he's doing. The Raven Effect. Raven is talking this week with a Flat Earth Society member. Did you like Bo Dallas's conspiracy theories? Go check out Raven and the Flat Earth Society. Keep it 100 with Conan. Always great stuff going on with those wacky guys. The flagship show on the Jericho Network. Beyond the Darkness, scaring the crap out of you 5 days a week. Every week with brand new episodes. They also got the True Crime Tuesdays. They do the weekly True Crime Tuesday podcast on patreon.com. Just $5 a month for a new episode every Tuesday, commercial free, no commercials. You can sign up once again at patreon.com for True Crime Tuesdays. A big thank you to all of them, and a big thank you to you and to this episode's tremendous sponsors and all of you for supporting them. DDP Yoga, go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Get 20% off the DDP Yoga Now app and all DDP Yoga related merch and clothing. Get in the best shape of your life physically, mentally. This really works, I'm telling you. ZipRecruiter, go to ziprecruiter.com/Jericho to post your first job for free and find the right employee for your business. Bombfell, have a personal stylist send you the clothes that are going to make you look like the bomb. You're going to get $25 off your first bottle juice at bombfell.com/Jericho. And of course, Geico, save money on your car insurance, man. Thank you so much for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. And Friday, one of my favorite Talk is Jericho guests, Eli Roth, is back with his brother Gabe Roth. We're talking about slasher films. That's right, slasher films. We talked about 80s TNA movies a few months ago. Now we're talking about 80s slasher films with Eli Roth. And if I know anybody that knows more about movies than him, I don't think it's that's the case. He is the man when it comes to useless movie trivia. And I'm excited for you guys to hear slasher films with Eli Roth this Friday. Get ready for that. But in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of Talk is Jericho. Stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs. And a big yeah, boy. Feel the glow.
Listen to new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday on the Podcast One app, or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.